is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, December 21st, 2004. On Friday, December 17th, President Bush signed what has been called the most sweeping overhaul of the nation's intelligence gathering apparatus in half a century. He said it would bolster America's defenses against, quote, stateless networks of terrorists. The Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act includes the creation of a Director of National Intelligence who oversees 15 intelligence agencies. It creates a National Counterterrorism Center. But what is most important, and what we will discuss today, is its consolidation of the martial law state. Let us look at how this new act expands police powers, includes elements of what was Patriot Act II, erodes constitutional protections, and is an overriding attack on civil liberties. The intelligence package that Congress approved, and we must note, approved overwhelmingly with the Senate vote of 89-2 and the day before a House passage with a vast majority, this intelligence package loosens the standards for FBI surveillance warrants, allows the Justice Department to easily detain suspects without bail, expands the criteria that constitutes, quote, material support to terrorist groups, allows the U.S. to share grand jury information with foreign governments, coordinates data mining and consolidates it in a new center, and prepares for a national ID and monitoring of each and every individual in the United States. Ralph?
Yes, driver's licenses change into a de facto national ID. News 10 on the 19th of December. A new national intelligence director will import and impose changes that are significant, and you will see them in line at the DMV. Quote, one of the most important parts of this intelligence bill directs the Secretary of Transportation on the federal level to work with the Secretary of Homeland Security to develop standards for driver's licenses nationwide that will monitor every individual, said Raymond Martinez, Commissioner of New York State Department of Motor Vehicles. So within 18 months, secretaries of state and DMV officials across the country have worked out a plan to bring 50 different licenses under the same federal security requirement. And that means adding difficult-to-duplicate holograms, magnetic strips already in place in states that carry all essential personal detail, a digital photo database, and new verification measures to monitor Social Security numbers, birth dates, and all personal information. Quote, what we found in New York is that people had driver's license that was suspended in other states, but now we have a mechanism for charting and monitoring every individual through the driver's license. Requiring standards for driver's licenses nationally will provide a de facto national ID. The article continues. It paves the way, the ACLU stated, for the Big Brother society. The government will have control. The government will know everything about every individual and will have it all computerized on a driver's license.
This data mining is a significant feature of the new intelligence bill. And it was just this data mining that elicited a very strong response against what would have been the discussion of Patriot Act II in Congress, the secret plan that had been developed by the Justice Department for just this, expanding the horizons of the federal government into the private lives of individuals. And it was objection to the plans of former Admiral John Poindexter, with surveillance of individuals and the collection of data in his plans of his division, that were stopped by Congress. And yet here, Congress is passing overwhelmingly these very plans to set up a national ID and to set up a center which will consolidate commercial information and government information about individuals. This is a direct expansion of police powers in the United States. The American Civil Liberties Union wrote a letter to Congress regarding the conference report on S-2845, that is the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act, and they sent this letter on December 6th. It's important also to note that the ACLU, which now has more than 400,000 members, accepts the premise of the act and commends the efforts of Senator Collins and Joseph Lieberman and Representative Hoekstra and Harman for, quote, their tireless work and sincere commitment to reforming the nation's intelligence community. In fact, the act itself is meant to stabilize and expand American imperialism abroad and the invasion of into our lives here at home. The ACLU points out the damage that the act does to the nation's civil liberties in centralizing the intelligence community surveillance powers, the ACLU notes, without sufficient safeguards, as if there are any, there could be sufficient safeguards. Let's note that. It says there are few substantive limits on surveillance powers, including covert operations the intelligence community could unleash against Americans who are deemed potential threats to national security. We must note that there is no guidelines for who is a potential threat to national security. And during the demonstrations at the time of the Democratic and Republican conventions, it is the ACLU itself that defended individuals against surveillance from the government. Also, the ACLU notes that the act provides, gives the government more clout in domestic surveillance operations, and the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board that the Act creates is, in fact, the people are chosen by the President and serve at his pleasure, and the board is located in the executive office, so that this oversight board is only an instrument of the President himself or herself, if we ever have a female president. Ralph.
Patriot Act to irk civil libertarians, reports Fox News on December 10th. The new legislation provides the Justice Department with vast new powers. Legal analysts say the bill may as well carry another name, which is Patriot Act 2. Ashcroft long sought tougher laws and had been formulating a second bill to build on the U.S. Patriot Act passed on September 11th, 2000. But concerns about civil liberties had stalled the measures. This is all gone by the board, Fox News reports. The Justice Department can now ask a federal court that operates in secret to allow surveillance of so-called lone wolves, an individual with no connection to a terrorist organization or to any nation. We're always going to be faced with individuals or a person who just wants to go out and wreak havoc. That is a gap that we will fill, said James Carafano, Senior Research Fellow for Defense and Homeland Security at the Heritage Foundation. The court now adjudicates the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and it grants authority to law enforcement personnel to monitor individuals in secret and to grant federal agents the power to track anyone. Quote, You have a combination, the Fox News article continues, you have a combination of a secret court operating below constitutional standards for search and seizure and against individuals who can be declared as, quote, lone wolves, unquote, without any connection to terrorists. The bill allows the government to deport immediately any alien who received financial support from groups that are deemed to be associated with terrorists. When you find people that you don't want, you get them out of the country even if you can't convict them of a crime, Carafano said. The bill allows federal judges the authority to deny bail to any suspect that is detained. The goal is to keep indicted individuals from fleeing before trial, they declare, but in fact, the targets are what they call lone wolves or random individuals convicted of nothing, suspected of nothing, other than an association with groups or organizations or activities that the government decides to be undesirable.
Ralph, you mentioned the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that's FISA, and this is the FISA court. The FISA was set up in 1978, and it's been in existence now for 27 years. I'd like to go back to an article that was written November 22, 2002 by John Andrews. U.S. Intelligence Appeals Court sanctions increased domestic spying that appeared on the World Socialist website, www.wsws.org. This is very important for what we are discussing today. The FISA required that government agents get permission from this secret FISA court before they could wiretap individuals. And at the time, they could only use this for people who were connected to what were the known terrorist groups, that is, the designated terrorist groups, groups designated by the Justice Department, many of whom we wouldn't consider terrorists because these are liberation struggles. And what the new act does is it expands this so that people do not have to be associated. The Justice Department does not have to prove to the FISA court that these people are associated with any group. In other words, they could, as you said, be considered lone wolves. The court, FISA court, consists of three semi-retired appeals court judges who had been selected by Supreme Court Chief Justice William Rehnquist. And what happened in November of 2002, on November 18th of 2002, is that the ability for the FBI and the Justice Department to get these wiretaps, the permission for the wiretap was expanded. What happened on November 18th in a ruling, in a Superior Court ruling, was that it permitted government agents to eavesdrop and search homes and offices simply by claiming that the information might relate to the activities of agents of foreign powers, which with the new law just means that there's a suspected that these people could be terrorists. They don't even have to be agents of foreign powers. And this is regardless of whether any criminal activity is involved. And ordinarily, a search warrant would have to be based on probable cause to suspect illegal activity. And what this ruling in 2002, and now extended to just individuals by the current law, says is there does not have to be any connection with criminal activities. There doesn't have to be any suspicion at all, and the court has no oversee. It's just a rubber stamp of whatever the Justice Department wants to do. Ralph?
These characterizations of the new police state and the martial law regime do not come alone from the American Civil Liberties Union, which, as you indicate, Maya, embraces the essential premise and then quarrels about the details. Here is Timothy Lynch, director of the Cato Institute, a conservative institution in the Los Angeles Times. More surveillance equals less liberty. The Patriot Act was designed to reduce privacy and increase the power of the security state. Financial privacy now is essentially gone. The feds have turned banks, brokers, houses, insurance, and other financial institutions into state informers. Those firms notify the Treasury Department about any transaction, and the government can subpoena your checking account records without your knowledge, and even if there is no evidence whatever of wrongdoing. The logic of the public sector, that failure means that the government is in the business of spying on you and controlling your every minutiae of activity. Thus, the Treasury Department is now engaged in total surveillance, the article in the Los Angeles Times continues. One of the most odious provisions of the Patriot Act, it states, is known as Section 215. It empowers FBI agents to demand things from people in any investigation. Ashcroft and conservative analysts, the Cato Institute director says, claim the Patriot Act operates in a similar fashion to ordinary search warrants, but in fact, they are empowered to do whatever they want under Section 215 without the approval of a federal court. In truth, the article continues, the Act creates a facade of judicial review, but in reality, the scrutiny of this does not exist. And to top it all, Section 215 has a gag provision that criminalizes speech about 215 orders. So, if the CEO of a telecommunications firm determines that his company is spending $1 million a year to comply with Section 215 orders and wants to complain, he dare not make a call or send that letter. He is not allowed to and can be prosecuted if he attempts to do so. In the meantime, only the FBI knows how many people have been cowed into silence by 215, the Los Angeles Times article concludes. New Standard, Welcome to the Matrix, by Madeleine Baran in the conservative New Standard. In what civil liberties advocates call the most massive database surveillance program in U.S. history, the Multi-State Anti-Terrorism Information Exchange, or Matrix, compiles billions of records on law-abiding citizens and receives federal funding for their monitoring, no matter the public outcry or suspicion. A Florida-based company, Sisint Inc., created a database shortly before September 11th, and I emphasize this, before September 11th, 2001, combining the company's own commercial database with law enforcement records. Now law enforcement officials in participating states can comb the database to investigate any crime. Matrix contains an unprecedented amount of information. Your current and past address, your phone numbers, your arrest records, your real estate information, photographs of your neighbors and business associates, your car make, model, and color, marriage and divorce records, voter registration records, hunting and fishing licenses, anything that involves a recording of your life activity. Quote, for example, the user can identify all brown-haired, divorced male residents of Minneapolis who drive a red Toyota Camry and are registered to vote. The data will be displayed in social networking charts showing connections between individuals, photo lineups, target maps, locations where people can be detained or noted for their movement, according to internal Sisint documents obtained by the New Standard after a Freedom of Information Act request by the American Civil Liberties Union. One of the documents boasts, when enough insignificant data is gathered and analyzed, it may become significant, unquote. In short, anything about individuals is harvested, gathered, deployed, and then invoked for detention without the right to contest.
Ralph, we've discussed the Matrix before, and it's important to discuss it again because the Matrix is one of the many data mining programs that will be incorporated in the new Intelligence Act. You can read more about the Matrix at the Global Policy Forum website, that's globalpolicy.org, where they have a series of articles about the incursions on our civil liberties. And Welcome to the Matrix by Madeleine Baran appeared in the New Standard July 8, 2004. 16 states participated in the pilot program. And as of July, Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Ohio decided to stop, continue to use the matrix. And, in fact, Florida, that's Jeb Bush's state, has the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, that is the Florida State Police, doing the security for this private company, Seisint, in Boca Raton. And even acts as the security agent for Seisint outside the state. In January 2003, Governor Jeb Bush met with Vice President Dick Cheney to demonstrate how the program could be used by law enforcement and to request additional funding. The Department of Justice funded Seisint with grants in 2003, and later when the Department of Homeland Security was providing funding, it increased it. It doubled the amount of funding to Seisint to run Matrix. And last year, in 2003, the Department of Homeland Security assumed, quote, managerial oversight and control of the database in an agreement between DHS, that's Department of Homeland Security, and Seisint. So the amount of records are now being consolidated in the Department of Homeland Security. This is being used, despite what Seisint says, to develop, quote, terrorist profiles. And Seisint had made a presentation when they had done their original planning that revealed 120,000 individuals with, quote, a high terrorist factor score. And they had given this list of names to the Immigration Service, the FBI, the Secret Service, and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement in a show of the cooperation of the private sector with the government to, quote, identify potential terrorists in the general population. Ralph?
Well, Maya, to show the enormous magnitude of this and its permeation of every aspect of nominal governance in the United States, we cite the article in the New York Times on December 15th, 2004. States and cities must hunt terror plots, Massachusetts governor says. To protect America, state and local agencies, as well as private businesses, must gather massive intelligence themselves and not rely solely on intelligence gathered by the federal government or the Patriot Act or the Intelligence Act. Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts, the leader of a national working group, told Homeland Security officials on Tuesday, quote, "The eyes and ears that gather intelligence have to be developed in our country. That means that meter readers, EMS drivers, law enforcement, private sector personnel must be on the lookout for individual information and to monitor random people all over the United States." In a presentation by telephone to Tom Ridge, the New York Times article continues, Secretary of Homeland Security, members of the Homeland Security Advisory Council meeting in San Diego with Mr. Romney stated, local law enforcement agencies are going to target individuals at every level. We will increase our law enforcement personnel tenfold. There are too many schools, churches, stadiums, bridges, tunnels, roads, subways. We have to be able to find bad guys before they carry out an act, and that will only be done through massive intelligence. The final rent of financial resources of every state and every city will be increasingly devoted to this effort. The proposal, the New York Times article tells us, by Mr. Romney's bipartisan working group, represents a new and more assertive role by local law enforcement agencies, public and private entities, and, say, expert on domestic security. Cities and states, including Massachusetts, Colorado, and Los Angeles, California, have set up fusion centers that integrate information from local sources, analyze it, and draw conclusions. New York City goes beyond that, sending detectives all over the world to such places as Israel and Singapore, as well as to other states, to investigate individuals, organizations, and political groups. Under Mr. Romney's proposal, every state will be urged to marshal local agencies and businesses, collecting detail and observation when stitched together point to a total picture of individuals and their associations. Quote, if you have a transit system that circles a major city and you get reports of individuals who are taking photographs, well, the report from one police station may be meaningless, but when you take them as a pattern, they become clear as to what we need to do with those individuals, said John D. Cohen, senior Homeland Security advisor to Massachusetts. The proposal makes a great deal of sense to me, said Dave McIntyre, who teaches domestic security at Texas A&M University. I don't see how you're going to protect every high school football stadium, every school bus, every theater, unless we have a total investigative capacity at every level of authority in the United States, the article continues.
And that, again, fits in with exactly what Admiral Poindexter was proposing and what was rejected. Here we have the same proposal appearing again, coming from a group of Mitt Romney, and proposed again to the federal government. By the way, Ralph, the fusion centers that were referred to in the article are under a different name included in the Intelligence Act as regional counterterrorism centers that will be set up across the country, forming a regional basis with the new counterterrorism center that takes over from the Terrorist Threat Integration Center. Looking at that information, and again with what we were saying about Matrix, Matrix itself included driver's licenses from 15 states, motor vehicle registration from 12 states, Department of Corrections information from 33 states, and sexual offender information from 27 states. Now, this is what Seismet revealed. But other states also sold data to Seismet, that, according to the ACLU. Ohio, for instance, sold its driving records to Seismet for $50,073 2 years ago, and Seismet purchases information from commercial databases where driver's license data is readily available. And this information doesn't just stay with Matrix or the Department of Homeland Security. In Florida, for instance, 1,000 law enforcement officials, that is, in police stations throughout the state, have access to Matrix. This is part of the new world of data aggregation that is going on throughout the United States. An important article appeared in Wired.com on August 9, 2004, an article that you can also see again at globalpolicy.org. And that's Big Business Becomes Big Brother. And it goes hand in hand with the information we have been talking about Matrix. Kim Zetter writes, the government is increasingly using corporations to do its surveillance work, allowing it to get around restrictions that protect the privacy and civil liberties of Americans, according to a report that had been released by the ACLU. Data aggregators, companies that aggregate information from numerous private and public databases, and private companies that collect information about their customers, are increasingly giving or selling data to the government to augment its surveillance capabilities and help it track the activities of people. This is just as we have been speaking about as the purpose of the new intelligence bill and the work of Matrix.
Maya, what you're describing here, of course, goes under the rubric of privatization, but you have here the clear nature of the capitalist state. It is subsidized by taxpayers. We pay from our hard-won wages and the fruit of our labor for the state to profit off us and then spy on us to boot, and then they hand that tax-supported state apparatus right back to the private sector to profiteer on behalf of the government. As the Big Business Becoming Big Brother article documents, because the laws that restrict government data collection don't apply to private industry, the government is able to bypass restrictions on domestic surveillance. Congress needs to close the loopholes, the ACLU said, before the exchange of information gets out of hand, but Americans would be shocked to discover the extent of the practices that are now common in industry on behalf of government. Yes, ma'am.
We'll return to this, Ralph, in a moment after this station identification. Hello. Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored Peace and Justice Community Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. We're returning to our program, Consolidating the Martial Law State. As you were saying, Ralph, about big business becoming big brother.
Last year, JetBlue Airlines acknowledged that it gave defense contractor Torch Concepts 5 million passenger itineraries for a government passenger profiling without the knowledge or consent of passengers. JetBlue augmented the data with the passengers' social security numbers, income information, and personal data, part of a screening system called CAPS-2.
Ralph, it's the contractor augmented the information from JetBlue with the social security numbers.
And the data sharing project came to light by accident, and the disclosure revealed that this is but the tip of the iceberg. The ACLU released the Surveillance Industrial Complex report in conjunction with a new website designed to educate the public about how the private sector is monitoring every move, every aspect of the lives of individuals. The corporations aren't the only ones giving private data to the government. The Professional Association of Diving Instructors gave the FBI the names and addresses of 2 million people who had studied scuba diving. And 200 colleges and universities gave the FBI complete information about students. Most of these institutions provided the information without receiving a subpoena. The article continues, collaborative surveillance by the government and the private sector continues. It continues a pattern of three decades. Telegraph companies like Western Union, RCA Global, International Telephone and Telegraph provided the National Security Agency all cables that went to or from the United States. Operation Shamrock, which ran from 1945 to 1975, helped compile 75,000 files for the National Security Administration on individuals and organizations involved in the peace movement, civil rights movements, and in civil disobedience. The peace movement, civil rights movements, and civil disobedience.
Ralph, if you will recall, the attorney Abdin Jabara, very much involved in the Palestinian struggle, had revealed some years ago that there was monitoring of his telephone calls and his faxes at that time. This is before email, by the National Security Agency with just this very program. And you mentioned Patty, and Patty is the Professional Association of the Diving Instructors, and they certify all people who study scuba diving. So over the last number of years, these 2 million people include all of you who have ever studied scuba diving. Let's go back to JetBlue and what you were mentioning earlier about giving the defense contractor Torch Concepts, the 5 million passenger itineraries. This also was done by other airlines because this helped with the testing of the no-fly list, and the no-fly list has become embedded in the new intelligence bill, and the new law requires all airlines, not voluntarily, but requires all airlines to turn over their records to create this no-fly list.
Well, here is the full magnitude of what this entails. Quote, a government proposal for a national ID card was initially shot down by civil liberties groups for being too intrusive and prone to abuse, and Congress then voted initially to cancel funding for John Poindexter's Total Information Awareness, the national database that tracks citizens' private transactions, such as web surfing, internet usage, bank deposits and withdrawals, doctor visits, travel itineraries, and visa and passport applications. This has not stopped the government from achieving the exact same ends by buying the same data from private aggregators like Axion, ChoicePoint, Abacus, and LexisNexis. ChoicePoint's million-dollar contracts with the Justice Department, Drug Enforcement Administration, and other federal agencies allowed authorities to tap into billions of records tracking the interests, lifestyles, and activities of all Americans. Using corporations, the report states, the government has set up a system of distributed surveillance, creating an even larger picture than it was able to create with its own resources, and at the same time, quote, insulating surveillance and information handling practices from privacy laws or public scrutiny. Most of the transactions that people make are with the private sector and not the government, and the amount of data available through the private sector is much greater. Every time you withdraw money from an ATM, buy a book or a CD, fill prescriptions or rent a car, somewhere your information is being collected and your transactions monitored and the total information package provided to surveillance authorities of the U.S. government.
Ralph, as I was mentioning, every time we go to the grocery store and we submit our little PIN number for the grocery discounts, which are tied to submitting this number, as it is with Safeway and other grocery stores, they are compiling our shopping habits. And the police departments have sometimes accessed this information to monitor the various shopping habits of individuals that they are engaged in surveillance of without anyone's knowledge.
And here is the continuation by this by Kim Zetter in this important article. Most people are unaware how information about them is passed on to government agencies and processed. Although the Privacy Act attempted to put stops on government surveillance, the explosion in private sector data collection bypasses it totally. The growth of data aggregators and the tremendous amount of information that have been put together on virtually everyone, and the fact that the government is the main deployer of this information, has created a total control. Although the report focused primarily on the flow of data from corporations to the government, the data flow actually goes both ways. The government shares its watch lists with the private sector to whom it has privatized the function, opening the way for discrimination against customers who appear on the lists. Under Section 314 of the Patriot Act, the government submits a suspect list to financial institutions, and then the institution conducts transactions which demonstrate that any individual or organization on the list is prevented from gaining access to loans. Once the government shares the list, nothing prevents the institution from discriminating against individuals or organizations on the list.
What the ACLU notes is that it turns companies into sheriff's deputies, responsible not just for feeding information to the government, but for actually enforcing the government's wishes, for example, by effectively blacklisting anyone who's been labeled as a suspect under the government's less than rigorous procedures for identifying risks. And this goes back to what you were saying with the Mitt Romney, the governor's of Massachusetts, and the plans to incorporate the UPS drivers, the postal workers, and all people who have contact with the public in surveillance of each and every individual. Let us bring this back to the Intelligence Act, the current Intelligence Act, because a portion of the legislation mandates the creation of an intelligence community, quote, information sharing environment, ISE, which has the potential, according to the ACLU, and I will go beyond what the ACLU states as having the potential and say that it will become a tool for unchecked data surveillance, just as we have been describing with the Matrix and the other data aggregation that is now being used by the government. ISE centralizes this in the new legislation.
Maya, what you're saying here is very much on point. The Washington Post confirms it on December 10th. Measure expands police powers. The intelligence package that Congress approved this week includes a series of little-known measures that broaden the government's power to conduct investigations, and it cites the magnitude of this, and indeed what it does is to demonstrate the unanimity with which the Democrats and Republicans have embraced this. Senator Russell Feingold, a Democrat, Democrat from Wisconsin, said that he voted for the bill because of its intelligence reforms, and he accepted the expansion of law enforcement power. I may be troubled by some provisions that were added in that have nothing to do with reforming the intelligence network. We know that the Justice Department has a record of abusing its detention powers and of making allegations against individuals that turn out to have no merit, but we needed to vote for this in any event. In fact, Charlie Mitchell, the legislative counsel for the ACLU, said the law enforcement measures are troubling in terms of what they represent. They are pushing and pushing and pushing until they have total, unchallenged control over every individual in the United States.
Ralph, we spoke in the beginning about checks and balances. The ACLU had said that there weren't sufficient checks and balances with the new Civil Liberties Board because it was under the president. And we mentioned the FISA court, where the FISA court had been established in 1978, and it provided that government agents had to get a warrant from this secret FISA court that to get permission for wiretaps. And, of course, this has been expanded. And as we mentioned in 2002, the Court of Review of FISA said that this little three-person court couldn't even have any break on what the Justice Department wanted to, who they wanted to get wiretaps for. And it's interesting, though, that even with this court, it has given over 13,000 rubber stamp warrants, and the composition of the court, as I had mentioned, is established by the Supreme Court justice, and includes Lawrence Silberman of the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit Court, and he is a career Republican Party operative before his appointment by Reagan to the most powerful appellate court next to the Supreme Court. And it's this person, Lawrence Silberman, who reversed the criminal convictions of Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North and Admiral John Poindexter in 1990. Scuttled any efforts of then Special Prosecutor Lawrence Walsh to prosecute the key figures in the Iran-Contra scandal. So you have people like Lawrence Silberman on this FISA Court of Review. So any nominal checks and balances don't exist because of the very nature of the beast and who is doing the selection of the oversight. And this is, again, what will happen with this new Civil Liberties Board, supposedly to check on whatever the government is going to do, chosen by the president and beholden to the president. And just like with the FISA Corps, it just is a rubber stamp for whatever the expansion of police powers will be in the United States.
And Maya, here is a specific application that came to light without the norm of disclosure. Here, the article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. University warns students of Patriot Act disclosures, government to get medical records. In an unusual disclosure, the University of Wisconsin Student Health Center informed patients that because of the USA Patriot Act, the government will obtain their medical records, will get to see them, and the patients will never know. The move to include the Patriot Act language in the privacy policy is similar to the policies of other hospitals. The provision added this summer includes a dense 7-page policy the school's University Health and Counseling Service acknowledged. With the Health Insurance Privacy and Accountability Act, or HIPAA, In accordance with the Patriot Act, we shall disclose your health information to authorized federal officials who are conducting national security intelligence activities. By law, we cannot reveal when we have disclosed such information to the government. Well, you can understand that this unusual acknowledgement is, of course, the exception, and in fact it is a generalized practice with respect to medical records, with respect to medical activity. Any attempt to receive treatment for anything is then immediately reported to the feds for a total picture of individuals' vulnerabilities, circumstances, and susceptibility to actions of reprisal by the federal authorities.
Ralph, the Health Insurance Privacy and Accountability Act was supposed to increase the privacy of your medical records, and it does just the opposite. When you go to a doctor's office now, and you go to a hospital, or you even go for an x-ray, they will not provide service unless you sign acknowledgement that you have read privacy form, this privacy disclosure form. Most doctors today only give you a short form. If you ask your doctor for the true HIPAA statement, you will see in it that any police agency, local, state, or federal, has a right to demand your medical records. And this was snuck in to the HIPAA Act, which is supposed to ensure your privacy.
Well, Maya, there's another dimension to this which we need to discuss. New York Times, December 19th, Pentagon seeks to expand role in intelligence collection. This Pentagon is drawing up a plan that will give the military the most prominent role in intelligence collection operations, traditionally the province of the Central Intelligence Agency, including missions aimed at groups and those involved in potential weapons proliferation, Defense Department officials said. The proposal is described as an effort by the Pentagon to expand its role in intelligence gathering, including that in the United States, when legislation signed by President Bush sets in motion sweeping changes in the intelligence community, including the creation of a national intelligence director. Now, consider the following in the New York Times on the 19th of December. One part of the overall proposal is drafted by a team led by Lieutenant General William G. Boykin, Deputy Undersecretary of Defense. It calls for fighting wars for intelligence, commencing combat operations chiefly to obtain intelligence. In other words, actually initiating wars in order to obtain intelligence or control over the civilian population. The proposal calls for a major expansion of human intelligence gathered by spies within the military services and the defense intelligence agencies, including missions aimed at acquiring specific information sought by policy makers. It's a detailed article about the militarization of the intelligence process. And what's instructive about this is, as the article tells us, General Boykin attracted controversy last year for his statement that to Christian groups that Muslims worship an idol, described the battle against Muslims as a fight against Satan, and he is now the prime architect of the proposal under review at the Pentagon since January 2004. He reports to Stephen A. Cambone, who used his newly created post as Undersecretary of Intelligence to assert control for the U.S. military over American intelligence agencies and both their foreign and domestic intelligence operations.
Spying in America. The Pentagon spying in America was a question asked by Michael Isikoff and in his article in Newsweek, June 21st of this year, in which he cites that last February, two Army counterintelligence agents showed up at the University of Texas Law School and demanded to see the roster from a conference on Islamic law held a few days earlier. Their reason, states Isikoff, they were trying to track down students who the agents claimed had been asking, quote, suspicious questions. I felt like I was in Law and Order, said one student after being grilled by one of the agents. Without any public hearing or debate, Newsweek learned that defense officials slipped a provision into a bill that was in Congress that expanded the Pentagon's ability to gather intelligence inside the United States, including recruiting citizens as informants. Now, what's important to note is that when the Army intelligence agents or agents of other intelligence agencies are interviewing people, they do not have to acknowledge who they are. The provision exempts the Pentagon agency, such as the Defense Intelligence Agency, just as it exempts the CIA from disclosing who they are and what they and the reason that they want this information.
Maya, in USA Today, on the 19th of December, the article, Spy Imagery Agency Watching Inside the United States, Catherine Pleasure Schrader of the AP, reporting from Bethesda, Maryland. In the name of Homeland Security, America's spy imagery agency is keeping its closest eye close to home. It is watching America. 100 employees of a little-known branch of the Defense Department called the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, using the country's most sophisticated aerial imaging equipment, focused on on observing what is going on throughout the United States. Twice a month, the agency assists with the security of events inside the country. It prepares imagery and related information. For example, the agency modified basic maps of the nation's capital to highlight the location of hospitals, linking them to the data and number of beds and the burn units in each. To secure the Ronald Reagan funeral procession, the agency merged aerial photographs and 3D images, facilitating security planners to control the Simi Valley, California route. The agency is especially watchful of big events that may attract tourists or political activists at political conventions. Everyone agrees that the domestic mission of the NGA has increased dramatically. Even though laws and crafted regulations are in place to prevent government surveillance aimed at Americans. But what's not good enough for secrecy, expert Stephen Aftergood is very clear. He oversees a project on government secrecy for the Federation of American Scientists. What it all boils down to is total control. He adds Mark Rotenberg, executive director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center. There are systems of public surveillance that are now under military control. Geospatial intelligence is the science of combining imagery, satellite pictures with to physically depict features of activities happening anywhere on the planet. A powerful tool for war planners who use imagery to measure soil wetness to determine if tanks can travel in an area, to help weapons proliferation experts look for ground disturbances that may indicate underground bunkers, but applied now to 130 urban areas throughout the United States involving the national malls, the high-voltage transmission lines, and areas of public congregation. Agency officials are cooperating as well with social with private groups such as hotel security offices to obtain video footage of lobbies and hallways and hotel guests and visitors. The footage is connected with types of maps used to secure secure events. The level of detail is huge, and it is available not only through the military but to the FBI and to local agencies. According to Executive Order 12333, signed by Ronald Reagan in 1981, members of the U.S. intelligence community collect, retain, and pass along this information about U.S. companies and individuals now with impunity.
Ralph, what we have here is a consolidation of the myth of a war on, that there is a war about terrorism. In the title, the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004, we have the consolidation of the martial law state.
What aspect of this we have yet to deal with is the significant article by the New York Times writer Tim Weiner on November 28, 2004, called Lockheed and the Future of Warfare. Lockheed Martin doesn't run the United States, but it runs a breathtakingly large part of it. And in this article, which we will now continue to discuss in part two, we will disclose how the warfare state and the martial law state are one and the same. The class war at home, the class war abroad, the police state in America, the consolidation of martial law control within our country.
You've been listening to Taking Aim with
Rob Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Consolidating the Martial Law State, will be on our website, www.takingaim.info. Audio tapes and CDs are available. Contact us for information. Our number is 707-552-9995. Our email address is takingaim@wbai.org or takingaim@pacbell.net. We'll be with you next week.